Oh, when you were a stranger and an alien from the continent of time, were you not rare aware of the keeping of the power of the king? Tumras ek yondora. You look back in your life and you see the times when he held you and sustained you and kept you from danger. And you marvel even now at the times you can see and behold his hand was upon you before you turned unto him. And yet there came a time in your life when you turned and said, Abba, Father, you are my God, and I shall be your child, and you were received and became part of his family. Yet even now in your heart are questions. And you say, oh Lord, you do not love me, you do not care, you do not are not concerned with the trial and the problem of my life. Yea, you are concerned even with the problem of my brother, of my sister, and you care for them, but not for me. And God would remind you that when you were a stranger, when you were an alien, when you cared not for your father, yet even then was he protecting and caring and guarding you, and has brought you to the knowledge of that care, and would ask thee even now, is he a father that having received you unto himself would now forsake you? Is he a God that would seek you out and win you and draw you to himself only to say you are not my own? No. He would not, even as a mother would not forgive her suckling child, no more will your father forget you. The Lord is thy Lord and thy God, and knows each thought you think. Each pain is registered upon his heart. He knows and is working upon that. You have read the scripture. You know that Peter was dealt differently than John. You know he does not deal alike, and yet his care is alike. His love is alike. His concern is the same. Look not to another and say, I love them more. Know that I love thee with a love that is unchanging. Come again. Come again. Come again to your Lord. Come again. And you will know, and you will know.
Word tonight then. Lord Jesus, Lord, we just praise you for the blood of the cross. We just praise you, dear Savior, for your goodness to us, Lord. By your stripes we were healed, Lord. You descended into death and were raised up by the mighty power of the Father. And are at the right hand of God. Lord, you're in control. And we're just living, Lord, to find your will and do it. We pray you'll bless the families that are here, Lord, each one. And bring their loved ones into the ark of safety, Lord. Give them that overcoming, victorious prayer that will reach out, Lord, and do the job. Forgive us our many sins, Lord, as we freely forgive those who sin against us. And grant, Lord, that we may just know your power, your presence, your will for us this night. Lord, we want to know your will and we want to do it. We don't want to play church. We want to know what your will is. So, Lord, grant that these further minutes, Lord, will be devoted to just glorifying Christ and understanding more perfectly your will. We'll be careful to praise you in Jesus' wonderful name. And everyone said, amen. Let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 37. Read verses 9 to 14. And if you're the person that was being prophesied to, or if there's more than one, you be sure that you come to this altar after the service and make sure that you get back to God before you leave this church. Praise the Lord. And just tell the Lord. Just tell the Lord. Say, I'm not talking like that anymore. I know you love me, that you do not play favorites. And sometimes you have to get it into words, saints. If you get it into words, and you just come up to this altar, don't you go out and fritter away and forget it. That's important. God wants to hear you say, I know you don't play favorites, and I know that you love me the same as everyone else. Praise the Lord. So be sure to do that. If that was for you and you felt a little tug, be sure and don't let it go by. That's God speaking to someone or someones very powerfully tonight, that He's not playing favorites, that what He's done before He will continue to do. And so don't let the devil get in and discourage you. God means business. He is our Father. All right, Ezekiel 37, verses 9 through 14. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. Now, some things that were said earlier in the service and this morning have a bearing. First of all, what Walter said about Glenn Miller, I was searching in my heart for the scripture. I know that's right. I know that the Lord impressed that on me lately, that God doesn't know everybody, and that a lot of that God does not know other people as He knows His elect. We are, as the scripture says, a royal priesthood. And as Walter was talking, the scripture came to me, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. And I don't know where that is. It's in Isaiah or Jeremiah or something. But it goes like this. It says, you only have I known of all the nations of the earth. Therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. In other words, God is stricter with us. And what we're hearing these days, some people call it negative. It's not negative preaching. It's not negative preaching at all. It is God who has come to His family. See? Cry unto Jerusalem that she has suffered of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. And you see, it's not to whip us, and it's not to bow us down. It's not so that we could have another Sunday in which Brother Thompson scoffed us or anything of the kind. The reason that God has come is because He's concerned about the peoples of the world. How many know that? God so loved the world. When He was saying that about those Arabs, He didn't mean by that He didn't love those Arabs. Or He didn't care where they died like dung on the ground. You know, we read in the paper, 50 died in a bomb blast, 35 died in assassination, this and that. You know, do you ever wonder about those figures and what it means to boys and girls and mothers and fathers and the bloodshed and the agony as people wail and scream and cry out to God, and we just read in the paper and say, oh, somebody blew up a guard post in Lebanon or something, you know, or maybe Libya will attack Egypt or something, and maybe 100,000 people. But as long as basically it doesn't change here, you know, that's the way we do instinctively. But God cares. God cares for those people. And it isn't a case of, oh, me, ain't it awful. God is fixing to do something about it. And the only way that God can get to those people is how? You only have I known of all the peoples of the earth. I don't expect to preach on that. I don't even know where it is, but it's in there. Yes, okay. Amos 3, verse 2. Maybe we better look at that. Hold this place in Ezekiel. I'm not through here yet. But I want you to see why we're so, quote, negative. It's not negative. I told Audrey, I've been accused of different things. And every once in a while, I get it right up to my necktie. And other times, one time it was for being radical. I listened to that for about 3 or 4 years that I was radical. And I finally said, everybody else is radical. And I am on the truth. Once I made up my mind to that, I had no more problem with it. Now I'm getting this negative thing up to here because I'm preaching the Bible. And if the Bible's negative, then praise the Lord. But I refuse to preach anything different from the Bible. So if somebody says to you, Brother Thompson is a negative preacher, say, be quiet, because he might hear you, and he gets all excited. Now I'm so excited I can't even find Amos. Or Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos. Amos is around here somewhere. Amos 2, verse 3. 3, verse 2. That's why Kay corrects my stuff now. All right. Amos 3, 2. You only. See, that's what Waller was saying. You only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish them and let you go. Ah! Well, that's what we want to hear. Teachers, get teachers out and get the scratchers because my ears are itchy. Ah! Come on, come on. All right. Not therefore you'll have pie and ice cream and I'll punish all the rest of the people in the world. The reason that I am stricter, God says, with my people and why we're dealt with all the day long is because why? Because he knows us and he doesn't know those other people. And when they suffer destruction and everything, it's a shame. But our things that the Lord lays on us is for a purpose. It is so that we might become a royal priesthood. You see, so straighten up and don't worry. Say, oh, there he goes on sin again, or on self. All the time I was death to self in that church. There's a purpose in it. The purpose is because God wants to do something for mankind. And the only way he can do it is through you and me. Like Brother Marley says, here we're over here. People coming from all over Asia, and we get this from Africa also. Oh, if you'd send us a book. Oh, send some tape or anything. Well, pray with us. It's a burden to be born. That God, those people will read the books and hear the tapes if we can ever get them out. And I believe there's people in our country, too, from the phone calls we get, letters we get, that are hungry for God. And they stumble on the books or something. And I don't preach it myself here, but this is the only thing I have in contact with. I'm sure many other ministers experience the same thing. And they're hungry for God. In our nation, they're hungry for God. And we need to realize when God deals with us, it's to prepare our hearts and to get us all riled up so we won't spend our time with inflation hedges and hiding behind hills because of atomic bombs and laying up barrels of dried prunes. We're already full of prunes. Come on. I asked the Lord about that. Are we supposed to enter into a protective mode here for the church? And I thought the Lord tell me, he that seeks to save his life shall lose it. And I had the feeling from the Lord, if you just get out there and attack with the word and give it all you've got and forget about your life, I'll save your life. And that's what I'm fixing to do because I believe it was the Lord. So God doesn't want us all occupied with tax-free interest and interest-free tax and who's in Libya and who's there. He wants us to pay attention to his lessons. Because he is preparing us to release the peoples of the earth. And that is clearly in the scripture. You only have I known. I don't know all these Arabs and all these, but I don't know them. I just know Israel. I know my elect. I know the people that are grafted into the true vine that are of Christ. you I know, and I'm going to punish you for your iniquities because you are going to represent me. That's the point. If you can see that, then it doesn't seem such a cross to bear. It isn't that God's trying to make you unhappy till you get to heaven. It's that he's going somewhere with this business. Now, we see in Ezekiel that just before the resurrection, and there are many, many scriptures in the Bible that talk about the rapture or the resurrection. And they're all talking about one event, the coming of the Lord. And Ezekiel is talking about one event. He's talking about the coming of the Lord and the resurrection from the dead. This is the rapture, believe it or not. This is the rapture. See? Only we don't recognize it because we have a lot of tradition surrounding it that we made up, like people disappearing. It doesn't say anywhere in the Bible people are going to disappear. Nowhere in the Bible. Not one scripture, Old Testament or New. But when you put together all the verses that deal with the resurrection from the dead, it's Armageddon, it's the time of the blowing of the trumpet, the resurrection from the dead, and the time when God releases the peoples of the earth, as we heard this morning from Brother Holland. We'll be touching on that as the Lord leads. Now, please get this picture, because if you do, you'll see that all this bones rattling and skin coming on the bones and flesh and all this is because God, before the resurrection, is going to unify his church. He's going to strengthen it. And the Spirit is saying in these days that we are in the days of Ezekiel's boneyard. How many know that? That's what the Spirit is saying. Only the Spirit can tell us the times and the seasons. And the Spirit is laying on many people. In fact, on the young people there, Doug's bulletin, the Boneyard Bulletin, that picture was taken from, according to the directions inside, was taken from the new wine. Is that right? All right, you see, isn't it? We're preaching some radical thing here. All over the place, people are talking about Ezekiel's boneyard. Why? Because it's time. Because that's what's happening. It's time that God is calling. And you know, this is independent of denominations. That's why it's hard to recognize. It's on a person-to-person basis. See, here you should read some of the letters that we get. And see, like this lady, Kay just gave me a letter from this lady in Dallas, and there were two other letters with it with some friends of hers. And it's just people all over the place are hungry for God. And God has been talking to them in dreams and visions and impressions of the Word. I'll never forget one elderly lady from Minnesota. And she wrote and she said, "Please, the Lord is telling me that Revelation 11 of the two witnesses, is that the rapture?" And she says, "I'm all alone up here. Can you tell me, is that right?" See, you have to tell them. God is telling them, but it comes as a confirmation. To whom? To the people that God is calling out. He isn't, the denominations aren't the dry bones. It's the true elect who are all concealed in the denominations that are the dry bones. And God is speaking to them. He's not speaking to the denominations. He's speaking to the individuals. And if God is speaking to you, and that's the hunger of your heart, then you have to lay aside everything else. You can't ride two horses. You can't keep in the world. Being a saint is a full-time business. And God wants the people that are called into this Ezekiel's mighty man here that raises up from the dead. God doesn't want distraction on your mind. He's going somewhere with this. And he doesn't want anything else competing for first place in your attention. And little by little, the hobbies and all the rest of it will go. God will take it. And when he does, don't say, "Woe is me, oh how negative. It's so negative I can't bear it." It's positive. It's the most positive thing in the world. It's just how you view it. You can fasten on, "You only will I punish," or you can fasten on, "You only have I known." It's up to you what you look at, whether you see it as bringing you closer to God or whether you see it as an inconvenience, as to whether it's negative. Praise the Lord. I said, amen. Hallelujah. All right, now, in Psalms 102... as I promptly depart from everything I prepared. Not everything, but some things. Change the order, I guess. Psalms 102, and I think our brother was right on the target, and I was just sitting there marveling at these verses, and over I don't know how many tapes I've said that this verse is in Psalm 120, but I reversed the last two digits, and it's Psalm 102. where it says that when the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. And this section in here, Psalms 102, verses 12 through 22, said our brother read the whole psalm this morning, and I was just sitting there saying, I knew it was in the Bible, but I didn't know it was in the Bible. That's the way the word hits you sometimes. And he says, but thou, O Lord, dost abide forever, and thy name to all generations. This is Psalm 102, verse 12. Thou will arise and have compassion on Zion, for it is time. See, there's a time, as we were speaking about Revelation 14, 13, that thus saith the Lord, from henceforth. Blessed are they who die in the Lord from henceforth. See, there is going to come a time, according to the Old Testament and the New, when God is going to shift gears. When he's finally going to hear the cry of the earth. And when he does, he's going to prepare a people to minister to it. And that's what's happening. And the days of the denominations and playing churches and all this, for those who are called, it has no relevance, or very little relevance, maybe in some vanishing scaffolding type of thing, it has some kind of relevance. But as far as the central thrust, the purpose, the demands of God, it has no relevance. Once God calls you into this end time move, everything else disappears. And it's quite an honor. It's quite an honor. It's nothing to be despised. To be called to be a priest, a royal priest of God, is a mighty thing. And something that we sell everything and buy that field. You see? Now, you see, the time, it is time. For the appointed, it is, for the appointed time has come. Surely thy servants find pleasure in her stones and feel pity for her dust. So the nations will fear the name of the Lord. See, immediately that you get into this end time revival, you run into what? The nations. See, God intends through Zion, which is the fortress part of Jerusalem, which is the first thing of interest to God's mind, Christ and his Zion, God intends to release the nations. So immediately that you hear about what God is going to do to Zion, you hear about the nations, because God is preparing Zion to release the world. Hallelujah! Glory to God! It's not to get a little group of people all locked up in themselves and subjective, seeing how many devils they can cast out of them. It's a sovereign act of God to prepare a vehicle of deliverance. That's where it's going. It's going out to the nations of the earth in a far greater way than we realize. We're not destined to go and live forever in heaven and play shuffleboard. We're destined to release the peoples of the earth. Hallelujah! A royal priesthood. Ye are a chosen nation, a royal priesthood, to glorify God in the day of visitation. And this is the day of visitation. See it? It's here. It's all through the Scripture. This is the manifestation of the sons of God. That's not the preparatory work and the witnessing is now. The fullness of it will come when the Lord returns. But if we don't go through the preparatory work, we will not participate in the fullness. And that's essential for us and practical for us to know. The rapture is not a catch-all in which every professor of Christ is caught up into the clouds to escape suffering. The rapture is the summoning of the army of the Lord in preparation for Armageddon. Is it? I don't know. Do you think 1 Thessalonians 4 sounds like war, or does it sound like a secret disappearing? Well, you got a secret disappearing on the one hand, and I say that on the other hand that it's Armageddon. Now listen to the verse. For with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the Lord shall descend from heaven. Now what does that sound like? A secret disappearance or the beginning of Armageddon? Yeah, it sounds a lot more like a beginning of Armageddon than it does any secret disappearance. Praise the Lord! It fits everything else that talks about the beginning of Armageddon. The trumpets, the loud noises. People say they don't like loud preachers. Well, you better not participate in the first resurrection, because everybody's yelling. The archangels, the angels, the Lord, everybody. There is just a great voice, loud noises. Amen. Praise the Lord. So if you like it quiet with people playing on the organ, what? That's a different ball game. All right, now, so the nations, see, as soon as the Lord has compassion on Zion, the nations will fear the name of the Lord. Those Arabs that Pete's talking about and that I think he has a burden for, those people will fear the name of the Lord when Zion is built up, but not until. See, that comes first. So when you're fixing to tell the Lord how you don't want to be reformed, just remember there's people counting on you. There's more to this than your little life in your front lawn. Huh? Amen? Praise the Lord. And whether you got a couple of weeds in your lawn, there's things more important than that. And all the kings of the earth, thy glory. Not just Israel, but God's after big game here. All the kings of the earth. For the Lord has built up Zion. Now, I like the King James. It says, when the Lord builds up Zion, he has appeared in his glory. But the prophets speak in a timeless vision, so it doesn't matter. But the Lord will not appear when? Until when? When he builds up Zion. And when he appears, what is he going to do? He's going to be glorified, see, in the day of visitation. The Gentiles may rejoice in the day of visitation. That's what we read in 1 Peter. He has regarded the prayer of the destitute. See, he has heard these Arabs. He has heard these Libyans. He hasn't written them off. He has heard these Hindus. He has heard millions of people. He has heard these Chinese. They don't have a thing. God has heard them. One time I was praying here in this aisle, and the Lord, as I believe it was the Lord, I suddenly saw a great prison. It was like a huge rock walls. It was dark and it was damp. And the door had evidently been shut for millennia. And it had just opened a crack. And there was just a crack of light coming through that door, and the prisoners were inside. You know, this world is a prison. As you read your paper, these people aren't enjoying dying over there like flies of bullets and grenades and hunger and drought and everything else. This world is a great prison for people. And it seemed to me the Lord was saying, the time has come to set the captives free. Praise the Lord. According to Romans 8, God is going to set this whole world free. For the creation, it says, was made subject to vanity. But it says the creation itself shall be delivered. And the scriptures teach it all through Psalms. He has appeared. He has not despised their prayer. And I believe he hears them pray in their heathen prayer. God, if he hears horses and dogs and wild asses of the pasture, according to Psalms, he hears all these things. And knows the birds that fall, how much some poor Hindu that doesn't know God or a thing, and he's crying out, oh God, have mercy on me. I think God hears him. He doesn't answer his prayer like he does in Jesus' name, but he knows there's a person down there that was created in his image that's crying unto God. And here we sit, and God is trying to prepare us to help these people. Praise the Lord. There's something quickened in me when Brother Marley said about that wonderful opportunity in India, and I believe there's opportunities coming in China and Russia, and we need to be ready. Praise the Lord. It won't be time then to say, well, let me see, am I going to sell my house or whatever, cash in my retirement or whatever. Do that now and get yourself ready and get free and unencumbered. God can use you. Praise the Lord. Maybe it's to stay and pray for the radio or give, or maybe it's to go. Or maybe it's to do something, but let God be your leader in that. This will be written for the generation to come. Now, that's stuck in my mind, too. Now, isn't it true that Ezekiel 37 is devoted to a certain generation? See, there comes a time when this valley of dry bones, there comes a time. There's time for that generation. Now, how long have they been there in this charnel house of bones? I don't know. But they laid there, didn't they? Until there was nothing there but skulls and tibia and femurs and whatever else was left. And how long had that been there? But all of a sudden, God says, it's time. And he speaks to the prophet. And I say that is happening now. The time, the generation, there's a generation. stuck in my mind when Brother Holland was talking. And I believe that we are that generation. I've read commentaries, and you have too. I've read Bibles. I've read Bible books and Edersheim and everything else you want to mention that I've had access to. I've read. I have never read in any commentary anything that is like what is coming forth today among the people of the Lord. I've never read it. And that tells me that we are in a peculiar time. Yeah, we're in a peculiar time. That's why that chorus that Bob sings, that song, "There never was a day like this day." I believe that song was given by Revelation. See, Joel's army. Oh, what, 25 years ago, whoever heard of Joel's army? But the Spirit is speaking about Joel's army. Right? There never was a day like this day. Truth is coming forth. The Word is opening up. And in the world we see the rise of Antichrist, exactly as the apostles told us. So don't hope to find a comfy life in the world, because that isn't the way it's going to be. And we need to get our strength going, because we're going to need it to stand. And if it'll either be one or the other. We'll either be swept down the river, or else we're going to be standing and helping other people. But we're not going to go on independent in our little nest up somewhere in some state or in Canada or in Mexico or someplace, hiding out with our can of beans, because that is not going to work. That simply is not going to work. God isn't going to permit that. No, that's right. They'll seek you out and they'll find you. That's right. God will guide them, because that's not what He wants of us, is to hide and save our life. Huh? What happened? Did I misspeak myself as usual? Oh, do you agree? Praise the Lord. Well, that's good. All right. All right. Now, for a people yet to be created, praise the Lord. For He looked down from His holy height. From heaven the Lord gazed upon the earth to hear the groaning of the prisoner. God hears that today. To set free those who were doomed to death, that men may tell of the name of the Lord in Zion and His praise in Jerusalem. Now notice when this happened. When the peoples are gathered together, and the kingdoms to serve the Lord. You see that? There is coming a time, according to Psalms, and it's in several Psalms, and you remember Jesus said in John 17 that they all may be one, that what? That the world may believe. There, God is going to build up Zion so that the kingdoms of the world will serve the Lord. Now that's where we're going. So we see the period of preparation and the bones coming together. Jesus isn't just going to suddenly come and rapture us to heaven. What purpose would there be in that? What purpose to take the bones up there? The purpose of building up Zion is to release the earth. That's what we're called to be, is a royal priesthood. And if we're in that, our whole life from now on is bent to one goal. It is to give our life so wholly to Jesus, there isn't one wrinkle in our personality that is not given to Jesus wholly, lock, stock, and barrel. And He doesn't have to say to us, "Will you please do this or please do that?" The moment we're sure it's God, we go, whether we understand it or we don't. And if He speaks about this sin or that sin, we don't cry and clutch our tattered garments. We say, "Oh God, thank You for showing me my sin." And we confess that thing and denounce it like it was a vermin on us. Praise the Lord, we don't go moping around, "Oh, isn't it terrible? Oh, how awful it is." We say, "Thank God. You're showing me my sins, so I can be free from the thing. And I don't want to find my own pleasure. Oh God, I want to find Your pleasure. I live to do Your pleasure." That's what God is looking for. And those people that come up with that kind of a testimony, that's the testimony that overcomes. You know, it says they overcome by the blood, by their testimony, and by living not their lives unto the death. And don't come short in any area, because we don't have all that time. The horses of war will go by and you won't even be able to grab their tail, as I said. But this thing is going to move quickly. And God wants you and He wants me to quit wasting time, just throw over everything and serve the Lord with every molecule and calorie that's in us. Praise the Lord. There's no time for anything else. Because there's a job to be done. Now, you can see it very, very plainly. All right, let's see that. You kind of speak toward the mic there. We have this little body of water up here in the Jordan River, and we have the Dead Sea. What is this? The Sea of Galilee up there, I guess. And Israel wandered around down here in this proximate region. Up in here is the Mediterranean Sea, and in here is the land of promise. All right, now Israel messed around down here for years and years in Kadesh Barnea, and then they came up here, and this is where the book of Joshua is. They're camped here on the east side of Jordan in the land of Og, the land of Moab, right here in the plains of Moab, waiting to go across. Is that right? Is that true Bible? Geography and history? Huh? And it's supposed to say yes. All right, now, what is Egypt a type of? Are you sure? Yes, all right. Now, what is the wilderness wandering a type of? Trials and tribulation. Oh, the devil's been after me all week. Ah, that's the way we live, isn't it? Anybody have any trouble this past week? Or any worries, any dread, any anxiety, any fear, any problems at all? There was one or two. Bill Jr. had some. And a couple of the others. The rest are already in the land of promise. The wilderness wandering is what we're doing. When we get saved, we don't shoot there from the world over into the land of promise. We enter into the mucking around in this wilderness. And I think you recognize it by the symptoms. It's not the greatest place in the world to be. We get manna every day. We'd like manna for tomorrow. How many want manna for tomorrow? That's the way some people are doing all these inflation hedges. Now they're trying to get manna for tomorrow. Amen. Man only comes one day at a time. Ah, oh, that stuff. And you try to hoard it, what happens? Yeah, that's right. He that gathers much is nothing over, believe me. And he that gathers little has no lack. And that's the principle of the manna. And it works in the wilderness. If you serve God, you'll have enough. And if you lay up too much, you'll lose it. And if you don't have quite enough, there'll be enough. It's just the way the manna works. And we're living on manna. We're living on God gives us strength for the day. Is that right? How many have strength for next Wednesday? Anybody in here? Couple. For the rest of us, we got strength for tonight, and that's about it. All right, now, that's all great and cozy. Egypt is a type of the world. Ta-da! And the wilderness is a type of you-know-what. That's the finishing school of the Holy Spirit for young Christians. But what in the world is the land of promise? But exactly what is it? We know what Egypt is. And we know where the wilderness is. But what in the world is the antitype or the fulfillment of the land of promise? Now, if we don't get 40 different versions here, I miss my guess. Oh, brother. That's a scholar. All right. Let me put that one on hold for just a second. Just a second, because I can't dispute that. I hope you didn't hear what he said. What is the land of promise? Because he's right. What is the land of promise? Huh? No more problems. Spoken like an experienced saint. You never guess. Oh, class. And I've told you many, many times, that I am not a good teacher. See, as I said, and I'll be hoist with my own petard, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. I'm not getting across. Therefore, a poor teacher. Rosemary?
Well, that's the place where the conference is.
Without a doubt.
That's where the Lord reigns.
Amen. Tay knows because she's read every one of the books. Because she proofreads them. All right. Anybody else? Well, you should know because it's what I've been talking about all evening. Armageddon figures in here. Yeah, but when we go across here, this is Armageddon. Stan?
I would say it begins in your own physical being, but it extends eventually to the nation.
Exactly. That's what comes from going to the school of ministry, see? All right. our land of promise, where we're going, is to rule the nations. That is the land of promise.
Oh, you say, I don't believe it.
Well,
you got it.
Weren't we just talking about the nations? Who wants the nations? Well, Pete wants those Arabs. You know what? I'll tell you something. Maybe he doesn't want those Arabs, but I'll tell you something. Somebody does. God will give somebody such a love for those Arabs that they'll lay down their life for those Arabs. And that's the only way any missionary work that's true missionary work gets done. Somebody's going to go down there to those Chileans there on the southern tip of Chile and those islands that have been asking for a couple of years for a minister down there. God's going to give a love affair between somebody and those Chileans one of these days, and they'll go down there and they'll inherit that land. Because the Lord said, ask of me and I will give you the nations, literally the nations, for your inheritance. Now, the purpose of Armageddon is when the Lord comes, and several things will be accomplished. We will be raised from the dead if we're victors. If we're victors, there's no sense in bringing up anybody that is not, because they're only part of the problem. What God is after are victors, and why is He going to raise them? What did it say in Ezekiel? What is He going to do? And I'll raise you into what? And bring you into your own land. If God wanted us in heaven, there'd be no resurrection. Because we go to heaven when we die. Is that right or wrong? I think we believe that when we die, we go to heaven. Is that right? Are you going to go to heaven when you die? Jack, you going to go? He's fixing to go there. Are you going to go to heaven when you die? That's right. But that isn't the goal. That isn't the land of promise, because it doesn't fit the type. Are we going to go up to heaven and fight Jericho and Ai and all these things? Are we going to have to enter into heaven with war? You mean to tell me that the mass of Israel is going to mass here and get ready and all go over and invade heaven? This makes sense already? No. Our goal is the nations. It's the nations that God wants to deliver. When the Lord builds up Zion, He's going to appear in His glory because He hears the prayer of the destitute. He is going to reveal so that the Gentiles will glorify God in the day of visitation. We're being made a royal priesthood. But you see, you can't go over into your land while you're a spirit. Can't dwell on this earth as a spirit and do those things. It's against the way, it's against the rules. That's right. What do you have to have? A body. So the Lord returns from heaven with His saints. Is He coming with His saints? Can you imagine? Here they've had all these years. Some of them have had nearly 2,000 years of peace. And the Lord blows a whistle. He says, I'm sorry, you've got to go back down. What? And not after it's all whitewashed over, but right in the middle of Antichrist's reign. That's right. Because when they shall say peace and safety, that's when Joel's army marches. Blow the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Why? Because the Lord is coming in an invasion. Death to the wicked, glory for the righteous. You're being prepared to be an army. I've talked a lot about the horses. You're coming on horseback, so get ready. You're coming on horseback. It's going to be the charge of a cavalry. It shows that Revelation 19, Joel 2, and Habakkuk, the third chapter. This is a real army on real horses that is coming. It's an invasion. And what is the purpose of it? To set free the prisoners of the earth. Do you think that we have to be prepared for a thing like that? You've got to learn how to ride a horse. I think that's what we're learning now, is how to ride that horse. Well, what kind of a horse is it? Did you ever think about that? Yeah, so a horse of war. So we're learning war. In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, and thy seed shall inherit the gate, shall have the gate of his enemies. See? That seed is going to hold the gates. Now that's what's going to happen. Praise the Lord. And we'll conclude with this passage. You can see it in Revelation 11. Now all of these things find their most clear, their clearest designation in Revelation. And that is why Revelation is sealed with a curse. See, these other things are very cryptic. They're very scattered. Micah, Habakkuk, Joel, Ezekiel, they're very scattered. And even in the New Testament, there's an allusion here, an allusion there. But when you get to Revelation, that's the book you cannot change. See, that's the one that's sealed with a curse. God says, this is the way it's going to be. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. So, you can rely more on Revelation as part of the order and what's going to happen. So we find in Revelation 11 that you have your witness, which I hold to be the double portion of God's Spirit on the church. And then it is overcome by Antichrist. We know for a short time the testimony will be overcome, so the tares can come to fullness of harvest. And then we find in verse 11 of chapter 11, after 3.5 days, the breath of life from God came into them, and they stood on their feet, and great fear fell upon those who were beholding them, and they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, come up here, and they went up to heaven in the cloud, and their enemies beheld them. Now this is the end of the testimony, and right here is the end of the Christian testimony, as I understand it. God will allow one... See, we are not in the time of the manifestation of the sons of God, or glorified bodies, or our conquest. And the Spirit is speaking about the manifestation of the sons of God, and speaking about the end time army, and it's confusing. Well, there are two armies. There's an end time army of saints who will go forward to bear witness, but we're still in the church age. We're not glorified. We're not indestructible. Many of us are going to die. We are still in the church age and will be in the church age until the Lord returns. We will be in the church age all the way through the rule of Antichrist. The church age will not end, nor will the manifested sons of God appear until the Lord comes. But you see, the Spirit is speaking so much today, you can't distinguish the two. But keep that in mind. Because we've got people running around trying to be manifested sons of God. We're not manifested sons of God. We're just saints, with just like saints have been since the days of the apostles, that we work by gifts. We do not have the fullness. We only, each one has a gift. There's no shifting of gears. This will continue. But it will end in Revelation, the 12th verse. That is the end. That is the removing of the testimony from the earth. Now notice what it says. And the fifth, verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded. Now the seventh angel is the last angel. And what did Paul say would take place at the last angel? The last trumpet. Huh? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. And what happens? The dead in Christ. That's the time of the resurrection, see? And you say, well, all right, but you see that last trumpet begins in chapter 10, verse 7. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, then the mystery of God is finished. Now, what is the mystery of God? Christ in you. So the mystery of God is finished at when the last trumpet begins to sound, or is ready to sound, right at that time. And then there's this great witness. The mystery is finished, it's revealed, Christ in you, but then there comes this great end-time witness. So we are facing revival. We are facing the concept of the Ezekiel's boneyard, which is Christ in you, the building up of the stature, the fullness of Christ, and at the same time, a great end-time witness. See? Then that witness is carried up to God. See, in the day that Lot went out of Sodom, in that day, what happened? Fire comes down. There wasn't 7 years later. The day the saints go out, in that day comes down the wrath of God. See, in the day that Lot went out of Sodom, fire came down and destroyed. In the day that Noah went into the boat, the rains came and destroyed them all. So we find immediately there's a great earthquake and a tenth of the city, and we know from here on is great wrath and woe and so on. But now notice what the seventh angel says. And the seventh angel sounded, and there arose loud voices in heaven. See, not quiet, not violins or ukuleles, trumpets, loud voices, all the preachers yelling. And what did I say was our inheritance? The nations? Now look at what the angel says. The kingdom of the world. What kingdom? The world has become the kingdom of whom? Of our Lord and His Christ. Do you see it in the Bible? It's all through the Bible. I take you to Micah 5, Habakkuk the 3rd chapter, Joel, the Lord shall utter His voice at the head of His army. The coming of, or first we have Ezekiel's boneyard. That's the mystery of God is finished. Christ is built up to full stature. At the same time, there's this end time double portion witness to every nation. And then God will allow that witness to be overcome for a short time. At the end of that time, God will catch His people up. The time of the last trumpet. And at that time, the kingdom of the world will become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ. Now there it is in the book. Same thing as Psalm 102. The generation that shall be created to praise the Lord, and the Lord shall hear the prisoner of the earth. And when the Lord's soldiers come, and these are hand-picked people, and God, and you can be in the group if you want to, but there'll be no more negative and positive preaching. When it comes to soldiers of the Lord, this is all, you have to give yourself all to it. There's no such thing as negative preaching. Let people go do what they want to. All that matters is God by His Spirit pulling out His soldiers. Praise the Lord. And they'll hear and they'll obey because it's the Lord and not the work of man. And God is making royal priests for the people because He's heard their prayer. You're the answer to somebody's prayer. You are the answer to somebody's prayer. Praise the Lord. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, we just thank You tonight, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. Lord God, Thou art the mighty God of Zion. Hallelujah, Lord. You are the God of heaven. Oh, saints. Oh, stand with me. Let's praise the Lord. I think this concept is very important to the Lord tonight. Praise His name. Oh, He's a great God that we serve. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, He's a great King. Praise His wonderful name. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, we praise You. Let the trumpet blow. Hallelujah. Oh, let Your saints, Lord, hallelujah, make a covenant with You. Oh, Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Lord, behold Your troops. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, we give You everything of our lives, every motive, every thought, every desire. We give it to You. Hallelujah.